I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor of the Bringing Her Hope podcast, Friends of Hope. Friends of Hope is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to the support of Christian radio, Christian events, new media, and activities that share the good news of Jesus Christ. So thanks again, Friends of Hope, for sponsoring the Bringing Her Hope podcast so we can continue to share more brave and beautiful stories of God's redemption. Welcome to the Bringing Her Hope podcast. I'm Bethany Bravery, and I'm thrilled that you are here. Each week, I invite a girlfriend on the podcast to share not only the story that God is writing for her, but the story that God is redeeming in her life. I cannot wait for you to meet each and every one of these amazing women who I know will inspire you to also live out the story that God is calling you to, and to give you hope that He will be faithful to redeem your story as well. My guest this week is Jamie McIntyre. Jamie is a wife to her high school sweetheart and a mother to her three beautiful children. At the age of 17, Jamie found herself in a place she never thought would be her story. Just 1 month into her senior year of high school, she found out that she was pregnant. She immediately was walking in this shame and regret of the choices that she had made. And she was ashamed of the choices that she had made because she knew that those choices weren't what the Lord had for her. When she found out she was pregnant, she thought that that was it for her story. She thought that the Lord would be done with her. But over the next few months and now years, the Lord has reminded her time and time again of who He is and how He uses any situation for His glory. Her story of regret turned into a beautiful story of His redemption. Jamie, thanks for being on the show, girl.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
For sure. My name is Jamie, like Bethany just said. I live in Eugene, Oregon. I am a wife to my high school sweetheart, Andrew, and we have three beautiful babies, a girl, Amelia, who is 7, and Alistair, and then Joel. So a girl and 2 boys. They keep us very, very busy. I am mostly a stay-at-home mom. I also work alongside my husband in ministry, and I do, you know, dabble into some other things from home as well. But being a home mom is my real call of fame.
I love it. So, Jamie, you and I were talking as we were preparing for this podcast, and we talked about the fact that you wanted to share your story of regret to redemption, your story of teen pregnancy. So why don't you just take us on this journey, and we'll follow along.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up knowing Jesus. I thankfully have 2 wonderful parents who raised me to know Jesus. And so I, you know, spent my life in Sunday school and youth group and very committed to my faith. But I found myself in high school very much in love with my now husband. And we made some choices that led to us getting pregnant. I found out I was pregnant just a month into my senior year of high school. So obviously not what really any teenager thinks their senior year will look like. I expected my senior year to be filled with football games and dances and all those kind of things that seniors do, and preparing for college and getting ready to live my life as an adult and live out my dreams, so to say. And then I found out that I was pregnant, and that all came crashing down. The life that I thought I was going to live, the life that I had been planning to live, was suddenly no longer an option. Like I said, I did grow up knowing Jesus and very strong my faith, so abortion wasn't really something that my boyfriend and I considered. So we continued on with our pregnancy, and eventually, you know, told our parents, and the word got out to our school and everything, and that was a very, very difficult time. I went to a small Catholic high school in Eugene, Oregon, where both of my parents worked.
Oh, man.
So, so I was very known. Everybody knew me. Every teacher knew me. I basically grew up there, and that was very hard to have to face my parents and peers and people who have known me my whole life as now having made this big mistake and being pregnant.
Mm.
So I was filled with a lot of shame, a lot of regret. I was very depressed and unsure of what was going to happen. My parents were as supportive as they could be. They were obviously very disappointed. My boyfriend, who is now my husband, is a wonderful man of God, and he was very supportive and walked alongside me that whole time. But it was still a time where I felt very, very alone and very, very isolated. And walking through that, I just felt like I knew the Lord could forgive anything, but I thought that that did not apply to me anymore. Mm. I thought that I messed up because I had known that I was sinning. I knew I shouldn't have had sex, and I did it anyway. So I just deliberately disobeyed what I knew the Lord wanted for me, and so I felt like that meant I was done. He had turned his back on me, and I was on my own because I had made those decisions for myself, which is a very dark place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just felt very alone. I had people around me. I was basically never physically alone, but I felt very alone. I felt very ashamed and regretful. And I remember I was a couple months into my pregnancy. I was in my room. It was at night. I remember just completely breaking down. Mm-hmm. I was just sobbing, very upset. I was so confused. I was so hurt from my own actions. I was so, I'm a very empathetic person. So the fact that I had let so many people down was just crushing to me. And I just remember crying, I was just so upset and just crying out to the Lord and begging him to forgive me, begging him to help me in this situation. And it came so clearly that after I was done weeping, that the Lord, I get choked up talking about this, the Lord very clearly told me that he was dancing over my baby.
Hmm.
He was rejoicing over her life. And even though on this side of earth, my daughter, when we got pregnant, was met with a lot of tears, a lot of sadness, a lot of pain, a lot of shame, but that was not how it was happening in heaven, that the Lord was not regretful of her life, that the Lord was not weeping over her life, that he was dancing and rejoicing over this new life that was going to be brought into the world. And that was life-changing for me, very, very really life-changing for me. After that, again, like I said, that was a couple of months into my pregnancy. And then from that point on, so it was still very hard. I was still a teenager. I was still pregnant. I still had a lot to figure out and a lot to work through. But from that point on, I no longer felt like the Lord was not with me. I knew he was with me. I knew he would use my story for his glory and that it was no longer this heartbreaking story of regret, but of the Lord's redemption and the power that he has to turn any situation, any sin, into something that can be used for his glory. Basically, every day since then, he has shown that to me. Every day since my daughter has been born, he has showed me that he can take any situation, anything that seemed really hard and horrible and turn it into something that is just 100% his glory and his grace.
So when you were, processing through what he had just revealed to you that night in your room, how did that change kind of your expectations versus your reality? Your reality was, you were a teen mom, you were pregnant, you were trying to finish out your senior year, but your expectations where God has this incredible plan. So what did you do to kind of balance between both of those and dance between both of those throughout that year?
Right. So that's a good question. But yeah, so like I said, it was really a perspective shift. So something changed inside of me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I then saw my future. I wasn't any, sorry, let me start first. Yeah, that's a really good question. I think mainly it was a perspective change. Mm-hmm. I think before I had had that conversation with the Lord, I was so focused on everything that was changing and everything that was no longer going to be available to me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to be able to go to my dream college. I wasn't going to have this life of, you know, going to college and experiencing that new stuff and, you know, being able to travel or being able to be on my own and do whatever I wanted. You know, that mm-hmm. was no longer an option for me. And my future then looked like I was going to get married and I was going to be a mom and I was going to stay where I was. And so I think after that conversation with the Lord, it changed my perspective. So I no longer focused on what I was losing and these dreams that I had for myself, quote unquote, and I focused on what the Lord was going to do in my life and what my life was going to look like now, seeing it through the Lord's eyes, kind of, mm-hmm. and trying my best to see my future and see my life and what I had in front of me through the Lord. The Lord's perspective and the perspective of that this is, yes, I had sinned. Yes, I had made a mistake. Yes, I had a big uphill battle. I wasn't at the finish line yet. I had a lot of challenges ahead of me still, mm-hmm. but that this life that I was carrying was not a regret, was not going to be something that I was ashamed of. Mm-hmm. It was going to be something that could be used for God's glory. Yeah.
I love that. You mentioned feeling alone and isolated. What would you say to someone maybe who finds themselves in a similar situation or finds them in a situation where they're feeling alone and isolated? Did you have a community nearby? What were your resources for that?
Yeah, I think in my situation, I had so many people around me, and I was very, very fortunate that I had a very supportive community around me. But I think when you're in a situation where you feel hopeless, mm-hmm. where you feel ashamed, where you feel regretful, it doesn't matter who surrounds you if you're not accepting the Lord's presence into
yes.
your life. So that would be my first suggestion would be to let the Lord into your life, because even if you're in a situation of hopelessness or helplessness or regret, even if you've done something wrong, you've taken a wrong turn, that the Lord is still so eager and ready to be right next to your side and walk through whatever you're walking through. Like, the Lord does not leave us to walk through things alone. He's always walking by our side. And so I think that would be my number one suggestion, is to make sure you realize that you have someone walking by your side. And then after that, then I was very lucky that my family was very supportive. I have great parents, and my then boyfriend, now husband, always has been very supportive. His parents were very supportive. But I think church, I think after I had my daughter, I also felt very alone and isolated because I was then a 18-year-old who had a baby, and I didn't know anybody else who had a baby, and that was a very lonely point in my story as well, and that's when church and Bible study really transformed my life. So I think there are always people available to you. There are always people around who are willing to hear your story and be your friend. You just might have to break out of your shell and get a little bit uncomfortable to meet them.
Mm-hmm. So true.
So that would be my other suggestion, is to go looking for those people.
Absolutely. Jamin, you mentioned that shame was just a real heavy label that you were carrying, and that mm-hmm. you felt like, man, I know forgiveness applies to everyone, but I'm not sure if it applies to me. What work did the Lord do within your heart? What does forgiveness look like for you in this part of your story now? And have you had to make a choice also to forgive yourself?
For sure. Yeah, that's a great question. I think starting with that, with all the shame, with all the regret, when you're in a place where you know you messed up, the enemy has such a power in that place where you know you messed up. So I had the enemy at me just nonstop saying, the Lord has turned your back on you. He doesn't care about you. You made this decision. You knew it was wrong, and you still did it. Mm-hmm. So how could the Lord still love you and still want to be in your life after you knew this decision was wrong and you continued to make it? that was my biggest struggle because I did know Jesus. I had known Jesus. He was in my heart. I knew his spirit. I knew his spirit was telling me not to do it, and I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so that was such a powerful tool of the enemy to be like, you messed up, like, you're done, you're on your own now. And forgiveness for that looks like finally asking for help. Mm. I think before that, I was sure that the Lord was not wanting to hear from me, and so I hid from him. Mm. And what a story. I'm sure a lot of people can relate from that. When you feel ashamed, it's like, you know, it's the Garden of Eden. When they felt ashamed, they knew they had done something wrong, they hid. And that was exactly me. I wasn't praying. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't trying to be near the Lord. So I knew I didn't know. I thought he was mad at me. Mm. So I hid from him. And that's what I feel like the enemy can really use, is like making you want to hide from him. And so when I finally broke down and I couldn't handle it anymore, and I asked for help, then the Lord spoke to me and he forgave me. And it was that asking for help is what forgiveness looked like to me. It was just that step of, I can't do this on my own. I recognize that I'm in over my head and I need your help.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I think that is so true. I think in so many different stories and situations, like you said, with Adam and Eve, we feel this shame, and the opposite of what Jesus wants us to do. He has his arms wide open. He's ready for us to run right into his arms and for him to tell us who we are, and that circumstances doesn't define us, and we often run the other way. And I love that reminder. That we do that. Like, maybe someone's listening right now and they're raising their hand and they're like, Jamie, Bethany, that's me. Like, I'm running right now. And it's a lie from the enemy that you're alone. It's a lie from the enemy that you aren't loved. It's a lie from the enemy that your story can't be redeemed, and that this is just a chapter. This is just a sentence. This is just a paragraph in your story. And God has so much more for you. So tell me, if you could sit down with your 17-year-old self, what would you say to her today?
Gosh, that's such a loaded question. I've thought about that before. I think the main thing I would tell her is that it's going to be okay. Mm. I would tell her that the Lord is bigger than what you're going through right now, and try to have her see that. I think I would tell her that it will be hard, mm-hmm. but that it will be worth it, and that she will find people and places that will help her to thrive in this new lifestyle that she has found herself in. Yes, I would tell her that this mistake or this, that being a teen mom does not define her. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I struggled with for a long time. Even after I found forgiveness from the Lord and moved forward and had this beautiful baby girl, and I was married to this man that I really absolutely adored, that I still found myself ashamed of being a teen mom. Mm-hmm. And just the weight that carries. And so I think I would just remind her that does not define her, and how she mothers and who she is, and that your past does not define your future, that the Lord defines you and defines your future, and just to hold on to that hope and that promise.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So we have probably an audience of varied ages. We have young adults. We actually have some teens that listen to this podcast, but then we also have some older ages as well. And what I would ask you is, from the mom's perspective, let's say my daughter comes home and tells me that she's in the same situation that you were in, what would you say to that mom? What did you need to hear from your mom, mm-hmm. you know, when you communicated that? How can we be a support system in that situation?
Yeah, I thought about that a lot too, with having my own daughter and just my own experience. You know, I've learned that now, from being a pregnant teenager to now being a mother, I have learned that moms just do the best that they can. And yes. that I would tell any mom out there who is listening, who maybe has a teen pregnant right now or has a teenager who might get pregnant, I hope they won't, but, you know, if that happens, to just give yourself grace in that, and to just try to be as open and honest and walk alongside your daughter in that situation. You know, my mom did her best. I love my mom very much. But that was very crushing to her to find out that I was pregnant. And she, it was very hard for her. And I can now see as a mom and coming out of that stage of not being a teen mom anymore that she did her best. I would say be supportive, and that can look different for different people in different situations, but just be there. You know, don't dwell on the mistake and help your daughter and help yourself be able to just move forward in whatever needs to happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think,
absolutely.
And I would also just say give yourself grace that don't dwell on thinking that this was a mistake that you made. Like, what could I have done better? What did I do wrong? Like, that's not helpful to you. That's not helpful for your daughter. I would just, that's obviously very hard it's a very hard thing to go through, to walk through, both as a teen mom and as a parent of a teen mom. But just to be able to do the best you can, give yourself grace, and just be there. Be supportive. Be there when she needs you. Let her cry on your shoulder. Help her learn what she needs to know to be a mom, and just being that loving support. But that looks different for everyone. My mom and then my mother-in-law had very different reactions and just walked through that very differently. So I'm very aware that just moms are different, that we have different reactions. I think it's different for if it's your daughter who got pregnant or maybe your son who's going to be a dad. I know all those things are different. So just give yourself grace. My other thing would try not to be too reactionary. When they tell you to try to not react right away would be my other piece of advice.
I love that. Jamie, so with your story, you ended up getting to marry your high school sweetheart, and he was, you know, the father to your child, but I know that oftentimes that isn't what happens. So let's speak to the girl who... she wants to continue this pregnancy. She's feeling all of the feelings that you were feeling, but she also doesn't have that support system, or it isn't going to necessarily end with, this is the man I'm going to get to marry. What would you say to her today?
Yes, that's a very hard situation. I have now known people who have gone through that as well. I'm very blessed to have had my husband walk alongside that with me, but to be honest, a lot of what I had to walk through in being a teen mom and going through that pregnancy really had nothing to do with my husband. I'm very grateful. He got me Dairy Queen when I wanted Dairy Queen, and he was as supportive as he could be, but I really walked through a lot of that on my own, and it was a journey that I really had to take on my own in a lot of ways. And so I would just, again, with the giving yourself grace, and again, with doing the best that you can and not being afraid or ashamed to ask for help. I think regardless of whether, you know, your baby's dad is the love of your life or not at all, there are other people to ask for help. So, you know, any family that's supportive, friends that are supportive, a community, a church, and, you know, there are people who are rooting for you no matter where you are, whether that's your family, whether that's people you don't know very well, whoever that may be, there are people who are rooting for you, and there are people who are ready and willing to help you if you ask for it.
Mm-hmm. So after walking out regret to redemption in your teen pregnancy story, how did your life change as a result of the new perspective that God was showing you?
I mean, it changed everything, really. I think I kind of spoke on this earlier, but it really changed how I looked at my future. I didn't look at my future as this big plan B, you know, that I really wanted to do this, and now I was stuck doing something else. I really let the Lord show me his big plans for my life and focus on how I could live out in his glory through my situation and through my own journey, and how I could be the best mom that I could be and the best wife that I could be, even at 18 years old, and then counting on and being able to be a good role model for younger girls that we meet along the way, or other teen moms who I've now gotten to help and hear their stories and help alongside their journeys too. Like, it's just been really amazing to see how the Lord has worked his will out in my life and this kind of new story that he wrote for me. Or actually, it probably wasn't even a new story that he wrote for me, but I had this other story planned for myself.
That's so
good. But to see his story that he had planned for me just come to fruition and see how he's just worked so really miraculously in our lives.
Gosh, I love that. I love that you paused and re-said that part too, Jamie, just because I think we grow up as girls with Disney movies, and we grow up with girls as being able to watch Hallmark movies. And we do have this storyline in our head. And it does feel like sometimes we've been robbed in the situation, or that it's his second best or his third best or his backup plan. And you're so right. He's been before us. He goes after us. Like, he is the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's all of us. And he's got our story and your story that everyone's listening as well. So, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing your transparency. I know that people are going to want to connect with you. So how can they do that?
Yeah, I would love to connect with anyone who felt touched by my story. The easiest way to get a hold of me is on Instagram. I'm a big Instagram fan. You can find me at by DY Jamie McIntyre, and I think Bethany will have those links for you too. And I'm also on Facebook as well. When I get my act together, I also have a blog, but it's down right now for maintenance and kind of a rebranding of it. But that will be up soon. So just following along on Instagram is going to be the best place to get all those updates.
I'd
love to chat with you. If anyone wants to send me a message, I'm totally open to chat.
I love that. We're excited. We're excited about where the blog's going to take you, where your story is going to continue to use. And I also wanted to just highlight, as she mentioned, she's now being able to help other teen moms. And it's such a reminder that God doesn't waste a moment. He doesn't waste anything in our story. And the fact that you have been able to walk through it and now you can encourage other people, it's so different. It's so different than walking through something. I know I've walked through divorce. And so for me, I needed someone that had walked through that, someone who understood the pain that I had walked through and experienced and the rejection and all those kinds of things. And so it is powerful, friends, as you're listening, to use the story that God is writing in your life and to say it and to speak it and to encourage others with it. I promise he won't waste a moment. So thank you so much, Jamie, again, for being on the show, friend. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you got to join in on my conversation with Jamie. Just a few takeaways that I had, reminders that were good for my heart and hopefully yours as well. That reminder of the fact that shame does not get the final say, that is not the definition of your story or my story, that God gets to define our story. I loved her perspective of what the Lord was sharing with her about him dancing over her baby. And I thought to myself, you know what? He's doing that with all of us. He dances over us. He pursues us. He has such desire to have deep relationship with us. And when we feel those thoughts of shame, when we feel those thoughts of wanting to run away and hide, that's the opposite. He wants to wrap his arms around us, you, me, friend, today. So allow him to do that. Allow him to speak truth over your story. Also, just a reminder, I wanted to say, first of all, before I do this reminder, thank you so much to all of you that have subscribed to the Bringing Her Hope podcast. It means so much, and I'm so grateful for all of you that share the podcast episodes with your girlfriends. It helps people to be able to hear the story more and more throughout that sharing. And also, if you haven't subscribed, or maybe you haven't left a review, giving a review allows iTunes to keep showing it to more and more people. And so if you are loving this podcast, if this is adding to your life, if this is encouraging you to step into the story that God is calling you to, then take a moment right now, if you can, and head over to iTunes and hit that subscribe button and make sure you share that review. Well, we can't wait to share another story of God's redemption next time, but until then, you keep living those brave stories for Jesus.